How do we quantify spiritual growth? How do we recognize spiritual growth? In the church, we can measure things like attendance at Sunday school or church attendance. We can measure programs. Do we have this program that meets these specific needs or those needs? We can measure classes. Do we have Sunday school classes running for different individuals or different age ranges? We can measure giving as well. But when it comes to spiritual growth, when it comes to spiritual growth, it's difficult to make a graph or a pie chart that represents spiritual growth in the lives of believers. And the reason for this is that spiritual growth is something that happens in the heart of a believer. Spiritual growth isn't something that we get a star for on a little board of progress. But rather, it's something that happens in the heart of the believer, and it happens through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And there's no way to measure the heart growth in our walk with the Lord. There's no litmus test. There's no test that'll say, you have grown this much, you now get this kind of a star. Yet aside from God's invitation to salvation, aside from God's invitation to salvation, spiritual growth is the next most important thing to happen in the life of the believer. And as we're going to discover this morning, God calls every believer to a process of growth. And he gives us a few key places for us to start on. So we don't have to say, gee, I don't know where to start. He gives us a few key places, and that's what we're going to take a little bit of a look at this morning in our time together. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that when you save us, Lord, you don't just leave us alone to kind of flounder, but Lord, you give us the tools and you surround us with people and all of the things necessary to facilitate growth in our spirit, that we would come to a knowledge of who you are in so many different ways. And Father, thank you that learning process never ends. There's never a stop to it, but rather you continue to grow us until our very last breath on this earth. And for that, Father, we give you thanks and praise. Amen. So if we are called to grow, what does growth look like? What does growth look like? Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Peter in chapter 1. And we read there in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. The first thing we need to realize when we consider spiritual growth in our own lives is that we come with everything we need. If you are a believer in Christ, you have everything you need for spiritual growth. Everything is provided. You are lacking nothing. You are lacking absolutely nothing. See, spiritual growth doesn't depend on how long you've been a believer. I used to think that, actually. When I first became a believer, I looked around at some of the men that were in the church, and I went, wow, those are wise men. Those men know God. And I feel like such a baby in my faith. And they've been following God for so many more years than I have. I just don't know anything about who God is. But you know, it doesn't depend, spiritual growth doesn't depend on how long you've been a believer. There are people in the church that have been believers for years and years and years, but yet their growth has been stunted at some level. They've come up to that level, but they failed to grow beyond. And we see that all the time in churches. We see believers that have been faithful followers of Christ on the outside, but inside their spiritual life has been stagnant. There hasn't been a time of growth. So growth doesn't depend on how long you've been a believer. It doesn't depend either on whether you've been to Bible school. You know, for some that might be the pinnacle. Well, if I went to Bible school, if I just had the opportunity to learn more about God like that guy or that guy, well then I would be able to grow. It doesn't depend on whether you went to Bible school. It doesn't depend on your education. There are many people that I graduated with out of seminary that have chosen to do something else with their education. So their education didn't necessarily equal spiritual growth. They're not serving in the pastorate. They're doing something different. They're being used by God in a different place. Education doesn't necessarily dictate spiritual growth. Neither does our frequency or commitment to Sunday school as a child. For some, you have grown up with Sunday school. You've gone to Sunday school all along. It's just one of those things. You learn about the Bible. I was one of those kids that didn't have a Sunday school. So when I accepted the Lord at age 19, I knew none of the stories. I knew Moses was a baby in the bulrushes. I remembered a bit of that story, remembered a bit of some other stuff. But otherwise, I always had to elbow Margaret and said, "Can you tell me that story? I don't know what the pastor's talking about." And she would have to quickly update me on the stories in the Bible. So it doesn't depend on, your spiritual growth doesn't depend on going to church or Sunday school as a child, that somehow you're going to be farther ahead. If you're a saved person and you've accepted Jesus Christ, God's gift of Jesus Christ, who has rescued you from sin, and by extension you've received the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, then by His divine power, by God's divine power, and by God's design, and by God's plan for your life, He has already given you everything you need to know Him and to grow in your understanding and your love for Him. Isn't that amazing? It's just that one act of committing our lives to Christ where we are given everything we need. Just like the communion table provides us a remembrance of everything that Christ has done. It's a banqueting table. It's a feast where we celebrate the goodness of God because He gave His Son to save us. You know, there's not one believer who lacks what is needed to grow. From the very instant we accept Christ, we have access to the Creator of the whole world. He has been made available to us. And Jesus invites us to seek and to ask and to knock. See, the Scriptures keep telling us these things. Seek and ask and knock, and it will be given to you. So we have everything we need for spiritual growth, is what Peter tells us. Well, the second part of 2 Peter 1 says this: His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Spiritual growth is also about knowledge. Spiritual growth is also about gaining knowledge about who God is, His attributes, what He is like, what He wants us to be like. Spiritual growth is about understanding God. The best place to find spiritual growth, to get spiritual growth and to discover who God is to open the pages of your Bible. And to read in the Scriptures. I had a friend tell me at one point, I said, "How do you know so much about what the Bible says? This is quite profound." He goes, "Well, I just read it. It's right here. And it's right here for us to see. How do we know about God? How do we know about who He is? We open our Bibles. Our Bibles are amazing things these days. If you ever look in the back of your Bible, you're going to be able to see maps that tell you where things happened. You're going to be able to see a glossary of words that tell you what they mean or where you would find other like words. You're going to see definitions. You're going to see different religions laid out. My Bible has religions and the cults as well, so you're able to identify what are false religions. You're going to be able to look at original languages and some of the topics that are covered in there. Our Bibles today are not just simply just Scripture written, but it's understanding that comes along with it as commentators go through the Word of God and endeavor to help us understand Him and know Him better. So spiritual growth is about growing in knowledge, and the best source of growing in knowledge is right in God's Word. In God's Word. God's Word, the Word of God is the place where we are able to to come to terms, to be able to see what God desires for us. You know, we often don't think about it, but we live in a privileged society where the very words of God are able to be held in our hands. You know, that wasn't always so. The early church, they didn't have the Bible. In fact, in the early church, some of these letters that have been written and passed around to the early churches by the apostles, those were maybe only one was sent to a church, and they would get copies of what was sent to other churches, and then they would read those all together because it was a way that they could understand more about God. What is God doing in that other church, and how does that apply to us? We learn about God 7 days. We can learn about God 7 days a week if we want. We have God's word to be able to put in our hand. We have the ability 7 days a week to dive into God's word, to look at his word, to seek out what he has there for us. And with knowledge of God and his ways and his plans and his purpose for our lives comes understanding. See, that's how we get to know who God is. If we don't spend time in God's word, if all that we have for a diet of God's word is what we get in these minutes on Sunday, then we are going to be pretty starved spiritually. We need to feed ourselves. Just like we need to eat every day, we need a meal of God's word on a regular basis. We need to be in God's word. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, called them out on their unwillingness to grow. He says this in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 to 3. But brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with solid milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. And even now you are not ready for it, for you are still in the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, you are not of the flesh, of behaving only in a human way. See, Paul is telling the church in Corinth that they haven't matured. Paul started them on milk, but they haven't progressed to solid food. So he has to talk to them in that way. He has to stay going over the basics. They didn't come to a deeper understanding. They haven't sought out God on their own to ask him to lead them. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth to encourage them to grow, but they were stuck making rookie mistakes as believers in Christ. You know, there's rookie mistakes. There's things that we have in our lives that are the rookie mistakes that will lead us right now back to sin. There's attitudes, there's actions, there's thoughts. Takes us right back to living in the flesh. Those are the rookie mistakes. As God grows us, he calls us to mature from those places. Jealousies and anger and explosiveness, arguments and strife and discord, those are all rookie mistakes. Those are rookie mistakes of believer, infant believers. As God matures us, he calls us from making those rookie mistakes. He calls us to stability and understanding more about God's word. God wants us to know what he expects of us. And in order to obey him, we have to have knowledge of those commands by reading in his word. But as equally important as having knowledge is developing wisdom from the knowledge. So not only do we have God's word, but we desire to grow in wisdom. So wisdom is applying God's word into our life. That's where wisdom comes in. How do we apply what God has said in his word? How do we apply that to our life? See, wisdom is something to be sought after. That's what the Proverbs tell us all the time. It says, seek after wisdom. Pursue her. And wisdom is what gives us the ability to discern, to keep us from making the rookie mistakes. Wisdom is knowing how to use the knowledge that God gives us in his word. Do you see the process that God is laying out for us? Knowledge of God leads to understanding. Understanding then to obedience. And obedience to what the Lord has shown us leads us to wisdom. So we go, Lord, I see what you write. I understand what you write. and I put it into practice, and that leads to wise decisions. You know, here's the ultimate key of reading the scriptures. I have a friend who said, yeah, I read the Bible front to back. Yeah, it was a hard read. Why didn't he get anything out of it? He didn't get anything out of it because he didn't invite the presence of the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word for him. He didn't know who God was. He didn't know Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. As a believer in Christ, when we take the scriptures and we say, God, this is your word. Your word is alive. It is active. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. When I read today, Lord, whatever it is that I'm reading, will you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will you bring conviction and truth, your truth, into my life? Lord, will you do that as I read your word today? Guaranteed, if you are having trouble reading the scriptures or making sense of the scriptures, you pray like that before you read God's word. And dollars to donuts, you're going to come away going, I didn't know that. Or 3 days later, you're going to go, oh, I get it. Because you're inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the process of growing you spiritually. So spiritual growth isn't some mystical kind of a thing or psychological thing or some clever secret or some formula. Spiritual growth can be best summed up in a simple statement. It's matching our faith that we proclaim with practice. So it's not just what we believe in our head or we understand in our head, but it's putting that into practice. And that's where Peter calls for us to grow in one more way. He says, grow in grace. Grow in grace. So in salvation, we are made complete in Christ. We have all that is needed pertaining to life and to godliness. We have been blessed with all spiritual things and blessings. And now all we need to do is progress in our daily walk in a way that's honoring to God. We have everything we need. God gives us His Word for us to grow from. And all we need to do is apply that in our daily walk. 2 Peter 3:18 calls on believers to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter says, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge. So we already looked at knowledge. That's what he's talking about. But now he says, grow in grace. Grow in grace. What does it mean to grow in the grace of God? Grace, by definition, means we are given undeserved merit. Grace is how we even come to this communion table, how we receive salvation. God chooses not to hold our past against us, but forgive us for our past, forgive us for our sin. He gives us undeserved merit. We didn't earn it. We didn't buy it. He gives it to us because of His goodness. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. Grace isn't something we earn, isn't something that we can get. But rather, growing in grace means we begin to understand the meaning of undeserved merit in our lives. Growing in grace means we begin to understand the meaning of undeserved merit. I've shared this story before, but it applies here again. Margaret and I had a garage up north in our previous house. And we had a garage. And one day, Margaret popped open the garage door, and she backs up. And one of our daughters was taking drum lessons, and the guy's car was parked there, mostly off to the side. Well, Margaret backed out, hit his car, backed into it. She came in, she said, I hit his car, I don't know, I didn't see it. And I walk out and I look, and like a good husband, I go, what are the words, guys? How did you not see that car? That was not wisdom being practiced there. But God had a plan. So, and I look at the car, and there's, you know what, you had to look. He had a dirty front bumper because he drove a gravel road. And there was a minor scuff of the dirt. Margaret caught it before anything else happened. So barely touched. She stepped on her brakes, pulled out. Oh, I can't believe it. I hit his car. I come out. There it is. There's about 2 inches of dirt that got moved. That's it. That's all there was. And so how didn't you see the car? Like, it's right there. If you use your mirrors, guys, we know how to use mirrors, right? If you use your mirrors, you'll be able to see the car behind you. It was a little bit of happening, right? God has a sense of humor. I found this out from this incident. Because there was no damage done in that little incident. Margaret felt bad about it, and that she missed seeing this car. I get into the same, we had a little minivan then, get into the same van, slap her in reverse, push the garage door button, bang. It wasn't 3 weeks later that I did this. And my other daughter parked a car at the garage. It's not hard. If you use your mirrors, you can see the vehicles behind you and you can avoid them. And when you walk out to the garage, you have to walk physically past the car to get into the garage so you know that there's a car there, right? Reverse, bang, $800. And God has a sense of humor. So I went in to the house after I crunched the car, and I said to Margaret, I said, I am sorry. God has a sense of humor. He's teaching me a lesson on grace. And we laugh about that still today. If I pull something stupid or Margaret does something and you're tempted to go and make a big deal about it, my first response is, I could do that too. It can happen. Stuff happens, and there's no way I want to get caught clucking my tongue or shaking my finger because God has a sense of humor. It'll happen to me, and it's actually happened a couple times, different things. I go, Margaret, how did? And then just a short while later, same thing will happen to me. So God has a sense of humor, and he has a way of teaching us, even though we're a little bit slow sometimes. And that process of teaching us is called sanctification. Sanctification. To sanctify something means to set it apart for special use. To sanctify a person is to make them holy, and that's what God calls us to be, is holy people. The sanctifying process, then, is about becoming holy. Becoming holy, becoming more like Christ, and it's a process. It's a process. I wasn't getting the message when I was out there scolding Margaret on backing up the car. I wasn't quite getting the process. So God put me in the equation. I became part of the process so that I could learn how to please God with my actions and my attitudes and my thoughts. See, it's a process of becoming sanctified. See, God wants to rub off some of those sharp edges that he has on us. God wants to rub off some of those attitudes that we hold towards different people or incidents or those times that we get up on our little high horse and we look down on somebody for not doing it as well as we could have or whatever. I look at growing in grace as the practical working out of Christ in a person's life because grace has real application. Grace has real application if we are willing to pay attention to it. A little farther in 2 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, tells us this. For this very reason, Peter says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly love, and to brotherly love, love. For if you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see what Peter is saying here? He's saying, when we get into that process of saying, God, I want to learn from this. God, my attitude or my actions were out of line. How do I learn from this? And then we put into practice, we get into the process, and we say, God, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be that person who showed up on that day and was angry or unreasonable or ungraceful. I don't want to be that person. God, add to my faith goodness and to goodness knowledge and to knowledge self-control. Lord, help me to know more about you so that I can be more self-controlled. And that in increasing in an increasing measure. See, here's the thing about spiritual growth. It never stops. It never stops. God will continue to teach us day by day by day until our very last breath in this life. He will teach us new things. Guaranteed, you will open the Bible when you are 95, and you are going to find something new in it that you never noticed there before, because that is God's, the Spirit of God speaking to us, revealing to us, growing us in grace. God desires us to grow. Well, lastly, Peter also reminds us of our purpose that God has created. And that purpose is found in the end of our verse in chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. So why would we even care about growing in grace and growing in knowledge? Is it just to be better than someone else? The scriptures tell us no. No, it's not about that at all, but rather it's about bringing glory to God. The old catechism teaching posed the question, what is the chief end of man? What is our purpose? What is the purpose of man here in this life? And the answer is this, and it comes from the scripture. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord is to his glory. When we learn from our mistakes, God is glorified. He goes, you got it. He's on our team. And he comes behind us and he goes, yes, you're understanding. You're growing from this spot to this spot. And it brings glory to God when we learn from our mistakes, when we understand something profound in the Bible, and when we apply that into our life. God is glorified, and our role as people on this earth, as his created, is to give him glory. When we show God's mercy and grace to others, he is glorified because we are showing who he is to the people around us. The ultimate desire of God is to be in relationship with us, and he provided a way for that relationship by giving us his word so we could get to know him, by giving us Christ as a sacrifice, so that there would no longer be a barrier between man and God. And he enters us into a process of knowledge and grace so that we can become more like him through that sanctifying and refining process in our lives. Well, let me close with this. How are you growing these days? When was the last time you thought about your own spiritual growth? Are you in God's Word? Are you spending time in God's Word, reading it, listening to it? We have programs on television, and we have programs on the internet. Are we discovering God's Word in some form? Are you learning from your experiences where you go, rookie mistake? I shouldn't be making rookie mistakes. I've been a believer for so long. I shouldn't be doing this. I need to grow. God, would you teach me and show me? Are you learning from your experiences about what it means to live under grace? Do you show that grace to others? Do you reflect God's undeserved merit into the lives of people that you come in contact on a regular basis? Do you show yourself some grace as well, where you can laugh a little at your own mistakes? That's probably our best medicine. Can you laugh at your own mistakes, and can you grow from them? See, growth is a steady process. It's a steady walk in the same direction. And it takes time. And it takes energy. And when we grow, God receives glory. Every step that we take towards God, he receives glory, and he is well pleased with us. I encourage you this morning, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And bring him the glory he deserves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for walking with us, even when we bungle things up, that you are there. Lord, we ask this morning that you would grow us, that today there would be one way that we say, yes, Lord, I am going to determine to grow. I'm going to determine to follow you, to be in a closer walk with you. Lord, if that is the result of today, then Lord, you have been glorified. You have joy when we draw near to you. So Father, we give you our hearts today and we say, Lord, continue to grow us. Continue to show us who you are. We give you thanks for these things.